John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World. My colleague Joseph Sternberg, a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, he's based in London. He writes political economics. And Joe and I, through the season of darkness, that would be 2020, into the first quarter of 2021, observed something ferocious, which is competition between European states, especially exacerbated, not with the virus, but with the vaccine. It's come to be called in Europe vaccine nationalism. And it's been unfortunate to observe that the AstraZeneca hesitation, the inability of the United Kingdom to share, or the hesitation by France to reopen, all of this is still going on. I note that within these hours and days, we have news that Germany is now postponing Oktoberfest, their great big Christmas-like celebration, in later this year for the second year in a row. That is not a positive for reopening. However, there are plans for Europe to enjoy a something like a normal summer. I read in the London Times and in the London Telegraph that the UK is preparing an ability to get people back to summer, back to the continent, beyond masks, beyond quarantine. But Joe, I can't tell at this point if this is aspirational or whether you're allowed to book a vacation in Italy or a vacation in France. Has that decision been made by the government yet?
No. And so you have a bunch of moving parts that are going on here, which are all going to make this a really difficult situation for everyone everywhere to figure out. So, first you have this issue of people who are sitting at home and want to go on holiday. And the first question you have to ask is, will your own government let you leave? So this is one issue that we're going through in the UK right now. The government, currently it is illegal, for people under most circumstances to try to fly out of the UK. You have to have one of a relatively small list of excuses, that would allow you to do that. This is supposed to be easing, in a few weeks, so that it would in theory be possible to travel abroad again, except that when you come back, you would be subject to an onerous and expensive testing regimen, and then you would also have to self-isolate at home, for 10 days. And that's even if you aren't coming back from one of the red list countries where you have to quarantine in a hotel. So one question is going to be whether the UK government will lift this restriction for Britons and whether other governments elsewhere in Europe will lift the restrictions that they are imposing on their own citizens in terms of leaving. And then there is the separate issue of where can you go? Who will let you in? And so I think that this is where there does seem to be a lot of interest within the EU, at least in allowing vaccine passports that would allow people like the tens of millions of Britons who have now had – who are on track to have had two doses of a vaccine by the summer, just let those people in and not require them to self-isolate or to do all of the testing in the hope of salvaging a tourism season. But you need both of those parts. You need to be able to leave your own country and then get in somewhere else before you can have a global tourism industry again.
Joe, the puzzle about vaccine nationalism is this competition between the big states, Germany, France, and Great Britain. And it's a puzzle entirely based on the vaccine, but it might be a glimpse of how they have not worked together for some time, hence Brexit. I note the headline in the Telegraph, Michel Barnier, the Brexit negotiator, who was in charge of the negotiation with Boris Johnson that dragged on 700 years until finally there was resolution right at the last moment. Michel Barnier is quoted as conceding, I read from the Telegraph report, that Britain's vaccine success proved that individual states could act faster than the unwieldy European Union, which displayed, according to his quote, ideological mistrust of public-private partnerships and, quote, not yet learned to take the risks. This seems harsh at this remove, given that we're still dealing with anxiety about positive cases and about people hospitalized and about the unknowns of the variants. But is that an opinion shared in London that the vaccine nationalism is a pure demonstration of why Brexit?
Yes, I think that there is a real sense of that, because I think the reality is that the UK was able to jump there right out of the gate last year pour a lot of its own money into some of these very speculative R&D efforts, and then be in line to get contracts for the vaccines that actually resulted from all of that. And I think that that kind of nimbleness is the thing that the EU was not able to do, because they tried to suppress their national instincts within the EU and encourage everyone to work through Brussels, through the European bureaucracy, so that they could all move together. And, you know, they discovered that although that might in theory give them some scale, you don't always need scale. What you need is agility. And I think that there is this growing sense in a bunch of countries, including places like Germany, that had been positioned to get out of the gate pretty quickly and then sort of held back for the sake of European unity. There's now the sense that actually they should have stuck with the agility. They didn't need the scale. And, you know, so I think that that is kind of in answering one of the arguments that we had had about Brexit in the UK. There had always been this argument that Britain would be benefit from scale, that it would be better off being part of this bigger bloc. You know, that might still turn out to be true. In some cases, it has definitely not been true when it comes to COVID vaccines.
The doses per 100 people, this is reporting from London, it's surprising and shocking and kind of confounding to see that the United Kingdom has 91 doses per 100 people. The next best from a major country is Germany at 42. 42. Austria, 42. France, down the scale at 40. Joe, this is a profound puzzle given what we know about the virus. Why states, centrally organized states, Berlin and Paris, they're not weighed down with some of the machinations of a vast continent. They have a centrally organized command economy when they want to. Is it doubt of the vaccine? Does that explain it, Joe? Is this vaccine hesitation not about the organization of the distribution itself, but about the people fearing?
Well, there are two issues to that, and I think that you're absolutely right that vaccine hesitancy is part of it, because, you know, particularly in France and Germany, you have a long-standing tradition of skepticism about vaccination in general, preference for homeopathic medicine in general in some areas. And that was always going to make it a challenge to persuade more people to take up the vaccine. I mean, that has been sort of an issue in some communities within the UK, where you've had some ethnic communities that statistically have turned out to be a bit more reluctant to accept the vaccine than other ethnic groups. And so I think the doctors and public health authorities here have been working really very hard about how they can come up with messages that will persuade people to accept it. But, you know, the other flip side here that we need to talk about is this issue of centralized bureaucracy.
All right. And Joe, we'll talk about it. I asked too big a question for the time we had. We'll talk about it on the other side. Joseph Sternberg in London. This is CBS Eye on the World. We're discussing vaccine nationalism. I'm John Batchelor.